We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
You know, I love that there's a senior in that video. I am kind of in the middle chapter of my life. Our church averages somewhere between 20 to 30 years old is kind of the average age of the folks that attend our church. And I'm not there anymore. Some of us haven't been there in a long time. A few of you haven't been there in a really long time. Some of you can't remember where that was. They're far and few between. But as I have gotten older, I realized something beautiful about that video. And that's that there's an older, much older lady on a typewriter. A typewriter is a machine that we used to use. Because there's a generation that's actually in the building right now that has probably never seen or played on a typewriter. When I was in high school, one of my favorite things, I had poor Miss Dixon. I hope she doesn't see this. But we had IBM typewriters. When you hit the button, they were electric, and it was a ball, and it would go to the different. But what they didn't realize was that you could take a pair of needle-nose pliers from shop class, and you could pull the coddler pin out of the top of the ball. And in class, when she would say, go ASDF, JKL, SIM, return. Then when you hit return, if that coddler pin was out, when it returned, the ball would actually fly up and out of all the machines simultaneously, and you could shut typing class down in just a few minutes. We did that several. Then they have to bring IBM people in to realign the ball and all that because they stacked up. But the thing about it is I have no idea what that had to do with Jesus, but it was just, I've told it in both services, it was fun. And I never will forget Miss Dixon. We were in there because there was a rhythm to it, right? If you ever been in a real typing class, she would call it out. She would go A S D F J K L SIM return. A S D F J K L SIM return, right? And we were all ch ping ch 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 ping ch ch ch. Oh, she would get so mad. You know, there are a lot of people in my life I've just realized I need to go back and apologize to. Because that's not good. But I love the perspective of this because it's told from a much older person. And I think while youth brings energy and it brings excitement and it brings enthusiasm, I think sometimes that age brings wisdom and reflection. And in this video, this lady talking, and she said, you know, she said, life has had ups and downs. And I don't know how your faith journey has been. Maybe it's been better than mine, but my faith journey doesn't look like I started here and I just, it's a constant up graph towards God. Mine looks a whole lot more like an EKG, right? So, or a heart monitor. It's just, it's got ups and downs and a few flat lines, if you want to know the truth, where God should have and wanted to be doing something, but he wasn't. And it wasn't because he wasn't big enough. It's because I wasn't cooperating. And so I watched this, and I'm like, man, how different is it if we took an opportunity? We're starting a new series. I set it up last week when we began to talk about your purpose and that everybody was created with a purpose and a destiny, and that if you'll embrace the fact that you were created to do something very unique that only you can do, that if you'll do that, you'll begin a journey that will really not just change your life, but it'll change the world around you. And here's the problem. I think what older people have that younger people sometimes don't have is the ability of to reflect on experience because they've had a long enough record to know that life is a little cyclical. It goes up and it goes down, and sometimes it goes in circles, and sometimes it makes sense, and sometimes it doesn't make sense, and sometimes you can find answers, and sometimes the answer that there is no answer that you're ever going to find. But here's the one thing I do find from talking to older people is this, is at some point in our conversation, they'll make a statement that says this, man, if I could go back and live my life different, I would live it with a lot more clarity and a lot more vision. And in some of these conversations that I've had, and as I've looked at 2020, as I've looked at our church, because what I wanted to do was hit January. Like, if you looked at my preaching calendar, January was all about talking about the vision of the church and where we're going and what we're doing and all that. And the Lord just really convicted me that, man, if you don't know who you are and you don't know where you're going, then we as a collective can't know who we are or where we're going. Because we are just made up of a whole bunch of yous. Is that fair? So, like, if your life is fundamentally lost, then we as a church are going to be fundamentally lost. Like, I can point to a direction and we can run towards it, but it's going to look more like organized chaos than it is a marching of an army to accomplish a goal. Does this make sense? So I began to look at this, and I love stories. My family is a group of storytellers, so anytime there's an event, we sit around and we tell stories and that kind of thing. But sometimes my family, in front of the family, some stories are okay. Maybe y'all live a better life than I did. Some of my stories, when it's just my sisters and my brother-in-laws and my mom and dad, we can tell those stories and be like, oh, I can't believe, and do you remember the time, and oh no, I'm lucky, you know, you didn't serve 5 to 10. Anyway, those things happen. But then sometimes you have company and your family is, and you'd be like, and there's nothing worse than they thought the story was okay, but your internal temperature just hit boiling and you're like, stop, 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 stop. And they're like, yeah, do you remember the time you went and so what might not be embarrassing, what might not be humiliating to everybody else may totally change the way people view you. Or maybe it brings up a memory that you would just as soon forget. But here's the thing. Life, real life, is made of the highs and the lows of the stories you hope they tell every time somebody's around. But it's also made of the stories you hope are never told. And the things that you hope some people shout from the rooftop, you hope that other people never whisper in the darkest of night because it's too humiliating, or it brings up such pain, or does this make sense? So what happened was this. It left me with this thought of, in some ways, I feel like sometimes we approach life not feeling like we can author our own story. Like, everything is more a circumstance of random events. It's like this, like, I don't feel like sometimes I captain my own ship. I feel more like I'm in the raft boat, like the lifeboat, just kind of getting to, I'm just trying not to drown. Is that like okay to admit that sometimes I feel less like a captain and more like a victim in a boat? And what I came to is this, Hebrews talks about it, and I think it's a pretty good scripture, because when I read it, it kind of put everything in perspective. Hebrews 12:2 said this, looking unto Jesus, I'm going to ask that again. I just need a little bit more enthusiasm, because like the answer's right there, okay? It's not like a trick question, right? So it said, looking unto Jesus, the author. Now, if you put this in context, that means this, that if God says, I'm the author of you, that means this, that there's a two-party deal about to happen. There's the story of your life that God wants to write. Like He wants it more than anything. But He's missing one key component. It's you. Here's the thing, and I probably should have prefaced this. I did a better job in the first service, but I just want to say this. I'm not going to give you 3 points this morning. I'm not going to give you a 30 or 45 minute message on things that you need to accomplish. All I want to do is I'm going to ask you one question. And if the end of this service or the end of this week, you can answer that question and you can pursue that question with everything that's inside of you, then you will start a 4-week journey, hopefully with all of us, that will take you and leave you in a place much better than where you're sitting this morning. Is that fair? So God looks at you and He said this. He said, I want to author your faith. I think this, God looks at you and says, you know what? I want to author this story that you're in. You are the main character in your story. I watched Top Gun growing up. A lot. On VHS tape. You know my favorite character in that movie? Maverick. Yeah, I feel the need. But you know what? That movie stinks if Goose doesn't die. It's just a bunch of guys flying around shooting stuff, which I would have been okay with. But watch this. But he also, and I'm not condoning any of the love scenes in Top Gun, okay? Now I can either, you know, but let's just say this. They shaped America a little bit. But here's the thing. If they didn't break up in that movie, you lose content. So in order for, and Top Gun, let's be honest, Top Gun is an iconic movie of all time. Like if you've never seen it, I'm not sure you're an American. So you... It's a story. So what happens is this, but without conflict, without the ups and the downs, there is no story. But I watched that movie and I'm like, look how cool Maverick is, right? I mean, he's short, but he's cool. You know what I'm talking about? Like I love his attitude and I love the change that happens in him. And right, and he had a motorcycle back then. It was cool. It had a square headlight. I went back and looked at it recently. It's not near as cool now as it was when it came out. But my wife's like, yeah, he's all right. But Goose... Can I tell your story? Is this okay? Who was it? Which Slider? Who? Slider. That's a burger. That's not even a. And I'm like, how did? Because we were talking about, is this okay? I said, how did you eat? I didn't use this in first service, so there's no context for me being okay to say this or not. But I'm like, how did you even pay any attention to him? She said, you ever see the volleyball scene? No, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that. Ironically, I missed that part. See, but what I thought was not a main... My wife's like, I'm going to kill you. You're just going to die as soon as service is over. Y'all pray for me. So, but here's the thing. What may not seem like a major character to a lot of people can be a major part of the story. See, a lot of times we discount ourselves as being the main character in our own story. Similar to David. Remember when David was called? His dad didn't even think enough about him to call him out of the backfield. He didn't think he was enough of a character to even be considered in the story. The man of God shows up and says, look, I'm going to anoint somebody king. And his dad lines all the brothers up except because he wasn't really worth even writing into the story. And see, the parts of David's story that he thought really didn't matter, like killing a lion and killing a bear and all this stuff. He's killing stuff. He thought really didn't have anything to do with the story. But what he didn't realize is he was writing chapters in that he thought was insignificant, but really became major parts and components to who God was making him to be. And God said this. He said, I'm not only the author, but I'm the finisher of your faith. God said, I won't start a story in your life that I don't have the ability to bring conclusion to. He goes on and he said this, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God and throne. And it just talks about the deity of God. And God said, I can author and finish your faith because of who I am. Now here's the difference in what I want to talk to you. I'm not asking you to make a New Year's resolution. What I'm asking you to do is partner with God and begin to write your story. Because every story has to have the beginning. It has to have a starting place. It starts with one decision that we make. Watch this. Scripture goes on, and this is an Old Testament scripture, but I think it'll put it in a lot of context for you. But it comes out of 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 13. I'll go 13 and 14. It says, and suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, the king of Israel, saying, thus says the Lord, have you seen this great multitude? Behold, I delivered into your hand today, and you shall know that I'm the Lord. Man, have you ever just felt like you had a lot of stuff going on? Like your job's going bad and your marriage is going bad at the same time and your kids just went crazy? And you wake up and that's not bad enough. You wake up and the dog ate one of your shoes and it was your last pair of good ones. You know what I'm talking about? It was like he didn't eat the old pair. God said, I'll deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I'm the Lord. Verse 14. Then it said this, and Ahab said, by whom? God said, Ahab looks at God and says this. He said, how am I going to put all this chaos in order? That's really the question that he had. He said, man, there's such a battle going on. How is this even going to happen? He says, thus saith the Lord, by the young leaders of the provinces, he said, who will set the battle in order? Because really, my life feels more like a battle sometimes than it does chaos. Like, I feel like sometimes I fight with the kids, and I fight with my employer, and I fight with my friends, and I fight with my spouse, and I fight with, only when I tell Top Gun stories. I feel like sometimes my life is a battle. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes I feel like my mind is a battle. Can I be honest with you, like super honest? Sometimes I don't even feel like I fight with the devil. Sometimes I feel like I just fight with me. Like, I know what the Lord wants me to do sometimes, but the fight isn't knowing whether or not I'm supposed to do it. The fight is whether or not I'm going to do it. Like, and here's what I realized, is that to really win a fight, it starts with one little non-connective decision. I went to a bridal study one time. And no, this is a true story. If you, I have to give context to this, because if you haven't been around church a long time, you don't know what I'm talking about. There's Bible college, seminary. That's what men go to. Women who are looking to marry somebody in the ministry go to bridal college. Because about 90% of males in seminary will get married in seminary or immediately after seminary. So like when they give you your diploma, they pretty much give you a wife. It's the way it works. Not all the time, but it's a thing. So I met my, I was interested in meeting a young lady when I was in my late teens, early 20s. And I went to a bridal study. And what I didn't realize is the denomination that I went to, if they said 6 o'clock to be on denominational time, you had to show up an hour later than that. Well, I'm one of those people that if you tell me to show up at 6, 6 means between 5:30 and 5:45. So I knocked on the door at 5:30, 5:45. I'm the only car in the driveway. And I thought, well, good. You know, I get here ahead of the young lady I want to see. Well, the young lady who opened the door was a woman on the prowl. No, you can say what you want to. She didn't care who she married. She was looking for somebody to marry. She wanted a man. Didn't matter what kind, just one. Because there's a place in a woman's age where she doesn't want the man. She just wants a man. It's like a puppy. It doesn't matter which one. Just pick one out of the litter. They're all about the same. You got to train them. They're going to be a problem. You know it. Just embrace it. I'm telling you the gospel. So she knocked on the door, and the conversation and the body language, I knew she wanted a man. The more she talked, the more confident I became. I was not that man. So not knowing that they were on a denominational hour late clock, it was time to ghost. About the time I was getting my stuff together, so I went and sat in the back of the living room, and there was a wingback chair, and I felt like it was safe because my back was to the wall, and like if I had to fight my way out, I was pretty sure I could take her, and right, because it was just the two of us in this house, and I was super uncomfortable. So all of a sudden, I'm getting like I've got my story worked out in my head, because again, the battle doesn't start out here. The battle with me always starts right here. So I've worked out like not only what I'm going to say, but what I'm going to say when she says something back to me. I forgot I had, it's my mama's birthday. How'd you forget your mama's birthday? She didn't tell me. But it just came on my pager. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. And about that time, this young lady walked in. The one I was there for. Now, here's what you got to understand. Little decisions that didn't seem like they were connected were about to shape my destiny. If I'm opportunistic and I pick the low-hanging fruit, you know when it's easy. When somebody wants to go out with you or would go out with you, you know it. You ever married people, you ever been out to eat with your spouse and somebody flirted with your spouse and you're like, I'm right here, dude, for real? And then they leave, and you're like, he's totally flirting with you. And they're like, no. No, they're not. Yeah, because I'm about to stab him with, right? I mean, like, you know, right? So, like, is that low-hanging fruit? Like, you just know, right? Y'all are making me feel really bad about myself. It's the truth. You know when it could. And so I, had I taken the low-hanging fruit, the total course of my life would have changed. See, sometimes it's not the big decisions that we make that shape our life. It's all these little ones that don't seem. It's a bear came out. Why would I didn't try to fight a bear. A bear just showed up. Like David was working for Grubhub when he met Goliath. Like he didn't go, no, for real. He didn't go looking for that fight. He was just delivering lunch. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that, and they're like, well, somebody needs to fight him. And like, if you were rock, paper, scissors, and David's not even in the game. He's just there dropping. And as a matter of fact, David didn't even apply for the Grubhub job. His dad applied for him. He said, look, go take lunch to your brothers. See, a lot of times what seems unconnected, it actually orchestrating and ordaining our destiny. And David said this. David said, well, you know, I guess if I got to fight, I might as well get a couple of stones for your brothers too, because I'm going to have to kill the whole family because they ain't going to help me at all. See, sometimes the battle that you fight, you think is everybody else's fight. You think it's your husband's fight, your wife's fight, the kid's fight. Really, sometimes the fight is just you. And that if you're really going to have the story that you want, you have to start writing it. Because God said this, he said, I've already ordained it. Before you were born, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I formed and I began to fashion you and put you together inside your mom. And I created you with a purpose and a destiny. But now you have a choice in that destiny. How are you going to write the rest of your book? Are you going to let life happen to you? The scripture says this, where there's no vision, people perish. Where you don't have an idea of what you're trying to accomplish in your house, in your life, in your whatever. But if you're like me, when I sat down and I looked at this, I whiteboard everything. So I started whiteboarding everything I needed to do and then everything I needed to stop doing. And then I sat back and I looked at this board and I'm like, there ain't no way I'm going to get this done. I can never become this. And that's when God spoke to me. He said, hey, when you teach this series, I want you to teach it one little chewable piece at a time. I always tell people, time's not your enemy. Like if you're believing God for a spouse, slow down. Time's not your enemy. But I'm 30. It's okay. They still make men, I promise. They're still making them. We've been married 4 days and I want a baby. Tell me that 6 weeks after it's born. Tell me you still want a baby. When you got bags under the bags under the bags under your eyes, tell me you still want that baby.
I love it. Would you like to hold it for a week?
Right? Because mamas will do that, right? They'll be, you bring a tired mama into, this is why we do nursery the way we do it. You bring a tired mama in here, they don't even care who's in the nursery. We have people just put their kid in a car seat and kick it up to the door. They're like, somebody will pick it up. It's got a note. Just feed it, right? Not really. That's not the moms we have. But my point is this, is that time is not your enemy. Time is actually your friend. And here's the thing. What God wants you to do is not fix everything all at once. What God wants you to do is start a journey with Him. God doesn't want to fix all your stuff for you. What He wants to do is work in cooperation with you to write a story that you can be proud of. Goes on and it says this. He said, who will set the battle in order? And watch, I love what God says back to him. God said, you will. You'll set your chaos, your battle, you'll set it in order. Now the difference between this and like a New Year's resolution is God saying, I'm not asking you to set everything back in order by yourself. What I'm asking you to do is set it in order with me and to let me be in the ordering of your life. Let me help you write the story. Like, can I be honest with you? There's sometimes from the pulpit, I'll start talking and like something brilliant will come out of my mouth and people are like, oh my gosh, that's so good. I'm going to write it down. I'm like, that ain't nowhere in here. That's like one of those God moments where you just say something, you come out and you're like, man, that was good. Like if you could hear inside my head, I'm like, man, that was good. Wish I'd have wrote it down. That was all God. You know what I'm talking about? That was like just God gave it to me. But he still needed me to say it out loud because before it came out of my mouth, it was a thought in my head. And can I be honest with you? Like when I was telling the story about Slider, that was a thought in my head too that wasn't in first service. And I'm not sure if it was God or if it was me. I'll let you know after my wife and I talk after service. I'll let you know. Does this make sense to you? Because here's the thing. We're always, it's all these little, small, insignificant things that God begins to prompt our heart towards that are going to write the whole depth of the story. So I'm getting to the place where your part and your question in this comes into play, and that's this. If you cleared your head of everything, like everything you've done wrong and the ups and downs in your stories this far, and you said, look, you know what? I'm really going to begin to write a story that God can be proud of, and I'm going to co-author it with God. What if the first question, what if a question that you're going to spend a whole week asking yourself is this? What's the one thing, not five things? Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, not five things. Because you won't do it. Look at your other neighbor and say, not even two things. Because you won't do it. See, you know, my problem is this, is that sometimes we try to do too much. We try to get ahead of God. And God's like, look, here's the question for you this week. What's the one thing, just one thing, that God said, I want you to start doing? What's the one thing? Maybe you're here and you go, you know what, the thing I need to do is I need to start leaving work on time so that I can be a real dad. I need to quit making reasons why I need to be here. And I need to take my time, and that work will be waiting on me in the morning. Maybe the thing you need to do is just say, you know what? I need to begin to write the story of financial health. It's not going to happen overnight. But in 5 to 10 years, if I do this one thing over and over again, if I watch for 4 or 5 years, then I will be financially healthy. You know what? Maybe the thing is, you know what? I've never really made church, going to church, a real thing. Like I need to start coming to church regularly. Maybe I need to just start reading the word. I don't know what your thing is, but what's the one thing that God wants to write into the story of your life that may seem insignificant today, but if you multiplied it 5 to 10 years down the road, would change the story of your life? Because here's what I believe. I believe that you can whiteboard everything you need to do and everything you don't need to do, but it starts with one decision. When my wife walked into the room, I was sitting in a chair, that wingback chair, back to the wall. She walked in and I said this. It's a wonder we're together. I just want to let y'all know that. I had a little game before I met her. I'm just telling you, I did. But there was something about her that was so different. I didn't even know where to start. So I cracked my mouth open, and nothing was here or here except, you're pretty, right? I mean, it was just, you can't lead with that. Not as an adult. Like in the fourth grade, you're pretty, it works. As an adult, it's like, you need help. And look, so I'm sitting back here, hand, mouth open. And she said, your name's Adam, right? Uh-huh. And your name's Tracy? That's all I had. That's it. It's amazing how just saying yes one time can change your destiny. It's amazing how answering one simple question that you already knew the answer to can change your forever. See, I believe this. I believe that in all of our lives, there's one thing that God's speaking into your heart right now, or He will speak into your heart so loud that you'll just know it's Him, that He wants you to begin. Forget about all the stuff you got to quit. I'm only asking you to answer one question. What's the one thing God's saying? Just say yes to this. If you'll just say yes, it seems insignificant. If you'll just say yes to committing to come to church. If you'll just say yes to getting financially healthy. If you'll just say yes to reading the Bible every day and trying to hear something from me. I promise, if you'll just say yes to this one thing, where it will take you will start a story that you'll be proud of. So we come to close. People ask me all the time, how do you know if a message is good or not? And I'm not, man, if you come up and say this to me with any regularity, thank you, because you appreciate it. But I have people all the time come up to me and go, man, that was a great message. Man, I needed that, right? And those things, they bless me. Please don't stop doing them, because then I'll think I'm awful. It's that battle. But you want to know the measure for me of a message is not how you feel about it on Sunday or Monday or even Tuesday. If by Wednesday or Thursday, there's something about it that just, God is just using it you know what I'm saying? Just like that tag that you can't rip out of your shirt because you think it's going to like tear a hole in it. So you try to put up with it all day till finally you just reach back there and whatever, you just buy a new shirt. But I got to do something with it. Either I got to let it stay or it's going to have to go. But I got to do something with it. See, that's the measure for me of when God's really moving in somebody's life. It's not always did they like it, but man, did it do something to me that I sat and I had to answer that question. And here's what I believe. My prayer is that God is that it takes this question and makes it a tag in the back of your shirt, to where either it wrecks you or it relieves you. That if you'll answer the question, what's the one thing, just one thing, forget about everything I'm doing wrong, I'm going to do this right. What's the one thing that God wants me to do that if I'll just say yes to it, begin to change the story in my life? Will you pray with me? Father, for every person that's here. Father, for every person who has the courage to answer that question, God. For every person that has the courage to say, God, I will answer that one thing that you're asking me to do. My prayer is that God uses it to change the story of your life. But I also feel like this, the first step in that story for some people may either be to give their life to Christ or to rededicate their life to Christ. And I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do any of that. But if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I don't like the way my life's being written. And I've got to invite God into my story so that He can author and finish who I am. And who He created me to be. If that's you, will you just slip your hand up just real quick so I can see it? I just want to pray with you. But if thank you so much. Anybody else? Will you just pray with me? Father, right now I ask you into my heart. God, author my story. Forgive me of my sins. And Father, push me. Lead me. Call me into the greatest adventure and story that could be written. It's the story of my life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. As you stand to your feet, I just want to challenge you that if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to answer that question. You're about to go on a 4-week journey of taking little bites of faith that'll let us take control of the story of our life. We're going to dive into some crazy stuff. We hope you follow us on social media. We're going to be asking you some questions. We're going to be giving you some road signs that point you down some directions. But here's the thing. I believe this. I believe that God wants to write a story, and He's echoing it message after message in your life. And it's okay not to have all the answers today. But if you can ask the first question, you can begin to write the book. Because a book's made up of chapters, but it's also made up of sentences and paragraphs that turn into chapters, that turn into sections, turn into books, that turn into novels, that turn into series. I don't know what God wants to do with you, but I believe this. I believe that God at the top of His lungs is screaming, if you'll answer the first question, if you'll just say yes, what's the one thing God wants you to do? You'll start a journey that'll absolutely change the outcome of your story. You receive this?
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com. www.ANNAandThrewYou.com/give.